listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents A Dwelling Place for God, the sermon by the Reverend Linda Jaramillo, presented on Sunday, June 10th, 2018.
First, good morning, church. It's just a delight to be here with you. I love this sanctuary. It's gorgeous. I love it. Thank you, Pastor Jeannie, for the invitation to be here with you. I've been in this space before, but every time I just like, oh, this is just remarkable. Thank you so much for your hospitality. Will you pray with me? Dios de mi vida, mi corazón, aquí estamos otra vez en tu presencia. Bendiste estas palabras que fueron preparados en tu nombre. Holy God, the mother and father of us all, we seek your guidance, we seek your presence. Guide these words as they were prepared in your name and in the name of that one you sent to show us the way. Jesus the Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, I am a really strong bridge fan. I love bridges. Covered bridges, suspension bridges, city bridges. And I love the beautiful seven. The beautiful seven that adorn the landscape of this area, the Portland metropolitan area. The Selwood, the Ross Island, Hawthorne, Morrison, Steele, Broadway, St. John's. Each is unique. Each connecting one side of the river to the other, one neighborhood to another. And each looks very, very different. There's this other bridge that I want to talk about. This bridge that spans El Rio Grande, the river, the Rio Grande River. On one bank is Ciudad Juarez in the state of Chihuahua, Mexico. And on the other side, on the other bank, is El Paso in the state of Texas, USA. Interestingly, the bridge is called by many names, like Puente Rio Bravo, the Stanton Street Bridge, but more ironically, it's officially known as either the Good Neighbor International Bridge or Friendship Bridge. Flowing below, the Rio Grande River is not only an historic landmark for many of us, it is more practically an essential source of water for both cities and many others on its path down the way. Interestingly enough, there are people who on the Mexican side who go there and visit don't drink the water, but they'll drink it in El Paso. Same water, same water. But the challenge today, and I have to share with you that a few years ago, I was there, and the flow of the Rio Grande River has been altered. It has been altered. I was stunned to see that the river has been redirected in places with a concrete viaduct that is bordered by a tall chain link fence rolling with barbed wire dressing the top of the fence of that structure. You see, what was happening and the concern that was raised is that the natural flow of the river, as we know, is in charge of itself, was moving. And as often happens, that demarcation of that river became real, and it became a demarcation between these two cities and these two countries. So a few feet of the river bank on the US soil had become Mexico. So what would we do? We built a viaduct so that we can concretely control it and concretely control the border. And so now the border fence in that area is right along the concrete viaduct. Not long ago, Ciudad Juarez and El Paso were virtually one community. People on both sides crossed daily to go to work, do their shopping, visit friends and family, enjoy recreation, and go to church. On the El Paso side, there's this little church, La Iglesia Trinidad, Trinity United Church of Christ, and in Juarez, a church known as Iglesia Sin Fronteras, Church Without Borders. The idea was for these two congregations to gather together and the congregants from these two churches to cross from one side of the border to the other to worship, to be together in fellowship, to build community. But the life and the culture and the politics of these congregations has been changed for them. As you know, immigration and border policies have intensified, and now both churches are struggling to survive because they can no longer cross safely, whether going northbound or southbound. This El Paso Juarez story extends 2,000 miles, replicated in Nogales, Arizona, and Nogales, Sonora, Mexico, all the way to the Pacific in San Isidro and Tijuana. The sense of community and common community at our southern border has been lost. I don't know if you've been to the Tijuana border. Most recently, there's also a park known as Friendship Park that used to be a place where families gathered on Saturdays or Sundays to worship together, to have a meal together, and that was sort of a demarcation zone that was safe for all. That park has been closed, and now there is about a 15-foot fence on Friendship Park, in Friendship Park. And just a couple of years ago, I was blessed to be part of a delegation, people from all over the world, frankly, that went there to worship. John Fonestiel is the pastor, and he's a United Methodist pastor in San Diego, and he does communion there every Saturday. And what they do is they do communion on both sides. A priest from Mexico comes up to the border, and John from this side, and they do communion. But they can't pass it across. But what they can do is do the words of institution. They can actually share it with each other, and families can actually come there and virtually be with their family in that course of worship. The other interesting thing about that border, I don't know if you've been there, is that fence actually goes several miles into the ocean. It goes, the Pacific Ocean has a big fence going in it, as if we could control the Pacific Ocean. It's phenomenal. So, and the other thing that's happening along this 2,000 mile span is Native American tribes are being split. In Arizona, right down the middle, there's barriers between the tribal lands. Environmental preservation laws have been put aside. So what's really happened here is that the Great Wall of China has been replaced by the Great Wall separating the United States and Mexico, which in fact can be seen from space. In our lifetime, friends, the Berlin Wall, at least my lifetime, the Berlin Wall came down. But now four fences separate San Isidro, California from Tijuana, Mexico. And one of them, built with the tools of war, the variegated metal panels that were formerly landing strips for the war in Iraq. You see, I once believed that the United States was a perfect laboratory for bringing people together. Different races, different cultures, different languages, religions, traditions, and values. A place where all that diversity could be shared and embraced and appreciated. I thought maybe this was one of those places in the world that God thought, not that I can think for God, but I think God thought this. Let me try putting them all together, my family, to get to know and love one another. We might have been one of God's great experiments. But friends, we're not doing so well. Things have changed in our post-9/11 world and beyond, and it really is more than Christian-Muslim relationships. Things have changed, and fear has replaced fellowship, neighbors have become foreigners, and bridges have become border fences. While I know that not all newly arrived immigrants came from Latin America, I would submit to you that our primary gaze is toward the southern border when we wrestle with immigration issues in this country. When considering the migration patterns across the globe, we seem to focus on those coming into the United States rather than maybe U.S. folks going to the south and U.S. folks going to buy up land in Mexico and other places to enjoy retirement with a much less expensive price tag. The economy of Mexico and the United States is suffering under those conditions. There are many stories to tell, many stories to listen to about our migration patterns and our human migration patterns. As I was preparing for today and I got to speak with Jeannie a couple weeks ago, I was drawn to your history, your spiritual journey, your story, your migration of this beloved congregation, Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ, on the verge of celebrating your 20th year as a community gathered together here. With Milwaukee Congregational UCC in its beginnings in 1890s, right here in Milwaukee, worship expanded and extended beyond Sunday mornings. Your dreams took root. Resettlement of 20 refugee families from Cambodia and Vietnam. The Logos Road Preschool, still here. And Swan House, right here. Madrona House, right here. And across the river, Kairos UCC, founded in 1984, migrated from the basement of Lewis and Clark College to the gymnasium at the Franciscan Renewal Center on their way here. Also committed to the gospel, supporting local street youth and families as far away as Nicaragua and Cuba and Guatemala. As I thought about that migration history that we've all been a part of, I was also drawn to the migration stories of our biblical ancestors. The migration of Abraham and Sarah, of Moses and Miriam, of Joshua and Jacob, of Ruth and Naomi, and of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. Some migrated by choice and others by force. And we each have our own family story. Our own family stories that describe the migration of our biological ancestors, the migration of our grandmothers and grandfathers, the migration of Joseph and Isabel and Lech and Charles and Tron and Obadiah and Rebecca. Some migrated by choice and some by force. Really, we're not that much different than our ancestors. Migration from one place to another is not new. And the reasons for moving around have not changed much. Some by force, some by choice. Most migrate in search of a better life for our children and ourselves. While there may be exceptions, most parents and parent figures really want the best for their children. We want to provide shelter. We want to provide nutrition, education, health care for our children. We want our children to be safe. A basic family value is giving our children all they need to survive, but beyond that, we want them to thrive, do we not? We want them to thrive. That's not a rhetorical question. We want our children to thrive, right? Yes. This dream has been the same for generations of parents who have immigrated to this country. And that's probably true for us. I am grateful, personally, for the trials of my ancestors faced over 450 years ago to this land as they crossed the seas and the deserts in search of a better life, not only for themselves, but for the generations who would follow. Our border crossing experience is when the border crossed us. We cannot forget that history. When I think back 500 years ago, my people in the Southwest, that was Mexico. So we had the border crossing experience a couple of times. We often hear that family values, when we think about our parents and our children and our families, we often hear that family values are a cornerstone of a healthy society, right? While I do not agree with the narrow scope of some that define family values with certain parameters, I do concur that keeping families together is important for children. So if this is our cultural value, we really do need to ask the question, is it limited to only certain societies of former immigrants? Whose children are important and whose families are valued? Just this week, 123 men were transported from the border and are being now held at the Sheridan Federal Prison in Oregon. From Honduras, from Guatemala, from El Salvador, from Mexico. Many of them were seeking asylum from the violence in their war-torn communities. Across the nation, last week, 1,600 people were sent to similar prisons across the country, dividing families, taking mothers in one place, fathers in another, and children, we saw the reports, in another. When we listen to their stories, and if we listen to their stories, we learn that coming north was their last-ditch effort to survive. It wasn't a choice they really wanted to make. And tragically, these disparaging descriptions of immigrants, such as murderers and rapists and criminals and freeloaders and leashes and illegal aliens, are thrown around without regard for the humanity of the potential for inciting hatred and neighborhood warfare right here in our communities. Generation after generation, we have waged war. However, these days, it's not confined to nation against nation. Sadly, the war here is being waged against immigrants within the boundaries of the United States, and it's resulting in fear, terror, and hatred of one racial group against another. Walter Brueggemann, well-known Old Testament scholar and United Church of Christ minister, I might add, explains this. The challenge of taking the scripture seriously means destabilizing the status quo. Brueggemann claims that the deepest impulse in the Bible is toward inclusion. Let me say that again. Brueggemann claims that the deepest impulse in the Bible is toward inclusion. He says that the message of inclusion is urgent for this nation and this society, because we have such a propensity for exclusion. And he says this exclusionary propensity violates both the American dream and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We heard it again this morning in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I quote, God is building a home, using us all, irrespective of how we got here, of what God is building. God used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now is using us, you and me, fitting us in together brick by brick, stone by stone, in Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds our parts together. And we need only hearken back to the very first chapter of the very first verse, where we say in this sacred scripture, we are told that our family ties are made real through our kinship with God. So God created humankind in God's image. God created them. It doesn't say some of them. It says all of them. So we're family. So we're family with a common parent. The common parent. We are members of the same family in that household of God. We don't look alike, and I don't know if it's your family's like mine, we don't think alike. And sometimes we don't have any of the same opinions about things. Nope, we don't. But on this journey as family, on this familial journey that we're on, it will require us in that difference, in that joyfulness of diversity, to cross a bridge from time to time, to cross a bridge from one neighborhood to the other, to cross a bridge from one congregation to the other, to cross a bridge from one nation to the other. It will require us. And you know why? Because God needs us to be the dwelling place of human dignity. God needs us to be the dwelling place of mutual respect. God needs us to be the dwelling place of grace. And God needs us to love beyond borders. May it be so.
Listen.